Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Coleman.
Hey, 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 it's Monty. Welcome to the Rockcast.
I love it!
So glad you could join me for episode 288, and I truly appreciate you taking the time to listen to what I have to say. And like I always say, you don't have to agree with what I have to say, but you probably should.
Okay.
But let's get started with an email from Rockcast listener James Ross. And I'm guessing James wants an update on the new Galactic Cowboys album or something like that, but let's see. James says, "Hey Monty, how's it going?" Oh, well, thanks for asking, James. You know, I would say things are going pretty well. In fact, there's times when I actually feel guilty for having such a good life. I've got a lot of great friends and fans and listeners. And a lot of you guys were very kind to help Alex and I move to Houston. And we're very thankful for this house that we have now that actually costs us less to live in than the little apartment we had in Colorado. And we've just about got everything set up now. I got this cool little office slash studio that I do the podcast in and I do all my paintings. And we've also got this cool little jam room. And I put some of my amps in there, and we set Alex's drums up in the corner. And then I just covered the walls in my rock star paintings. And it's all stuff that's on my website, montycolvinart.com. But yes, you can still buy them, and if I sell one, I'll just take it down, mail it to you, and then put one up in its place. But all that to say, we have the coolest jam room ever, and we're just very thankful for this place. So overall, I would say things are going really well. But, you know, every now and then, life will throw you a curveball. And such was the case the other day when Alex and I bought a new coffee table. And we couldn't afford to buy one that was already put together, so we ordered one off Amazon. And it comes to our door in a box that seems to weigh between 300 and 500 pounds. And so I know this is going to be a job to put together. And let me just throw this out there to anyone planning on putting some furniture together. You're not going to be able to do this by yourself. I don't care if there's a video of some Asian guy putting this together in about 1 minute. Trust me, you're going to need about 4 to 6 hands. And so Alex and I decide to do this together. And now here's the second thing I will advise you of. If you put together any kind of home furnishing together with your wife or your girlfriend, your relationship will be at risk. It will try your patience and you're gonna wanna get snippy with each other, but don't do it. Try to relax, take your time, and try not to have a huge argument. Now, what Alex and I did was we worked on it for about 1 to 2 hours, and then we took a walk. And then we came back, we had some lunch, and then after that, we were a little more mentally prepared to spend a couple of more hours finishing it. And it's one of these coffee tables that has a lifting tabletop that comes up. And you can sit on your couch and work on your laptop or eat dinner. And I'm thinking, this is going to be really cool. And so I put the last bolt in. And I'm sitting on the floor doing this, and I reach up and try to put the tabletop down, and I feel something in my lower back just tweak all to hell. And I try to stand up, and the pain just about knocks me over, and I eventually drag myself into the bedroom and lay on the bed. And that was the easy part, because now the biggest problem is getting out of bed. And so what started out with just putting together a coffee table ended up with a jacked up back. And nothing will make you feel older than a lower back injury. I mean, most days I'm thinking, 66? No way. I must still be in my 30s or 40s. Which way to the stage? But the past week or so, I look at Alex and I say, could you please get me some ibuprofen and a heating pad? And while you're at it, help me to the bathroom.
I understand how you feel.
So yeah, I don't know, maybe I'll need some acupuncture or something. But that's not the only thing that has me cranky here lately. As a lot of you know, I have a website where I post these Rockcast episodes called MontysRockcast.com. And since the last episode, over the course of about a week, I got hacked 3 times. And people would go there to hear my latest show, and instead they would see articles written in Italian about food and stuff like that. And I would have to go in and delete all that crap. And a couple of times I even had to call GoDaddy to see if they could help. And one of those times I get this guy and I'm telling him I have this podcast website. And he says, okay, let me take a look at it. And I'm sitting there on the phone waiting for him to tell me what's wrong. And he finally comes back and he goes, wow, I can't believe you're Dee Dee Ramone's cousin. And I say, yeah. And he goes, yeah, well, I'm a drummer. And he starts talking about music. And that's fine. He was a nice guy and we talked for about 30 minutes. But then literally like the next day, I get hacked again. And my thoughts are always the same. What do these soulless bastards get out of this? Do they get money out of it? Do they think my listeners are going to go to the site and see, oh wow, I wanted to listen to an episode, but hey, here's an article about Italian food. Or in my case, maybe they just want to screw with me. I mean, I've been doing this show now for about 17 years. And the main reason why I've done it is just for fun. And the main thing I don't want is for it to be a pain in my ass or in my lower back. And so when I get hacked by these scamming lowlifes, I just want to say, really? Why me? What did I do? Go pick on Joe Rogan or somebody that's got millions of listeners. I'm just trying to have a good time and promote my music and art. But actually, some good did come out of this. I ended up updating a few things on the site that hopefully will prevent some of this crap in the future. But we shall see. Hopefully 2026 is going to be a good year. However, it did kind of get off to a weird beginning starting on New Year's Eve. I know that's a big night for some people, but not for me. I know some like to go out to parties and celebrate like it's a really big deal. But for Alex and I, it's just any other night. Our plan was to make some food and watch some Denver Nuggets basketball on TV and just kind of chill. But that afternoon around 4 o'clock, we were out walking our dog Lulu. And all of a sudden, we start hearing some fireworks going off in the neighborhood. Which, by the way, we have a really nice neighborhood. All the houses are kind of one story and they've got some palm trees out in front, which I really dig. And when I walk outside here in the middle of winter and it's like 80 degrees, I love it. And it brings back really good memories of when I used to live here. And believe it or not, unlike Colorado, some of the people around here are really nice. Like, I met the neighbor across the street, and he comes out, his name's Chad, he's a nice guy, and he's already checked out the Rockcast, so shout out to Chad. But back to my story, on New Year's Eve, we're out taking a walk, and all of a sudden, fireworks start going off at 4 in the afternoon. And like most dogs, Lulu starts freaking out. I mean, granted, she gets freaked out about anything, you know, the garbage truck. Or if she hears a weird noise on TV, she'll head straight for the closet. Well, we get back to the house and we just keep hearing fireworks. And, you know, Lulu is very disturbed. And I get it. If it's the 4th of July or New Year's Eve, you're going to hear a few fireworks. But as the evening goes on, the fireworks just continue to escalate. And by 7 o'clock, it sounds like we're in a war zone. It's just pow, 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 pow. I mean, I've been to fireworks shows before, but there's always a little break in between some of them. but this was nonstop. And I actually had to turn the volume on the TV up just to drown some of it out. And there was a couple of times when I had to look out the window to see if someone was in our yard doing it. Or possibly there was somebody in our living room shooting those things off. And by 11 o'clock that night, we're just laying there going, oh my God, I have never been through anything like this before.
Ah!
I think it finally came to a halt around 1 or 1:30, possibly because they just ran out of fireworks. Either way, next year, I think we're probably just going to go out and do something. Because anything would probably be better than staying home and going through that again.
It is a great tragedy. It's terrible.
All right, here's something that might interest a couple of you, and in particular, a Mr. David Whiteman.
The new face of evil.
Yeah, a couple episodes back, I got a message from Mr. David Whiteman, and he asked if I could go to Spotify and put my episodes up there so he could download them. Well, of course, as you might expect, I did not do that. But I did find an alternative. If you'd like to download my episodes and then be able to put them on your computer or your iPhone, here's one way you can do it. You go to a website called Podbean. That's P-O-D-B-E-A-N. Podbean. Write that down, David. And then you're going to search for Monty's Rockcast and it'll come up. Then you're going to click on the episode you want to hear. That page is going to come up and it'll say download. Click on that. Then the episode is going to come up. You'll probably start hearing it immediately. But when you look at the player, you're going to see three dots to the right. Click on those dots and once again, you're going to see download. We'll click on that. And from then, it'll make you an MP3. Go find it in your download folder. And then you can do whatever you want with it. So there you go. Hope that helps. But, you know, for me right now, I've just avoided Spotify. And apparently I'm not the only one. The other day I watched this episode of Billy Corgan's show. And he had Stephen Piercy on there. And Stephen Piercy's like, I don't have Spotify. I don't care anything about that. And incidentally, that was a good episode of Billy Corgan. I like his show quite a bit. And if you like Rat, which I do, you'll probably find that episode interesting. Here's something else you guys might be interested in. The other day I got an email from Doug Van Pelt from Heaven's Metal Magazine. And I've been friends with Doug for years, and he asked for my address, said he wanted to send me something. And sure enough, what he ended up doing was sending me the 40th anniversary issue of Heaven's Metal Magazine. He's been doing this for that long. And congratulations to Doug for doing that. And he's also been a big supporter of Galactic Cowboys over the years. And you open it up and literally almost on the first page, I think it's the second page, there's a picture of me and a picture of the band and a little interview with me talking about the new album. And then you look on the next page and there's an ad for one of Doug's books called Rock Stars on God, Volume 3. And he used one of my paintings for the cover of that book. And so once again, thanks to Doug Van Pelt. Go out and pick up his magazine and his book.
I mean, I probably should.
So that's some of the things that are going on with me. But James Ross had another question. And he said, hey, Monty, I live in the Houston area and I have two teenage boys. One of them is learning how to play bass and the other one is learning how to do art, like draw and paint. Would you consider giving them lessons? Okay, well, first of all, I've had people ask me this for years, like, would you give music lessons? And my answer is always this, I don't know what I would teach them. Because I don't read music and I don't know theory. I was self-taught and I basically just play by ear. And when I write, it usually comes out of my head and my heart and I transfer it to the guitar. Now, if you wanted me just to teach you how to play Galactic Cowboy songs on the bass, I could do that. And there's probably a few other things I could teach you, you know, about sound or, you know, tone. Or if you were wanting to become a songwriter, I could probably give you some advice on that. But otherwise, I'm not going to be like Rick Beato. Like, I'm not going to say stuff like, that was a pentatonic scale over the top of a G minor 7th chord sus. Because I don't know what any of that means. So if you're wanting to learn stuff like that, you probably want to find somebody else. Now, if you were wanting to learn how to draw and paint, I could certainly point you in the right direction and give you some help on that. I've got a college degree in drawing and painting, and I could probably help you some with that. But once again, I just kind of do what I do. I don't use a lot of flowery language when I talk about my art. But, you know, as it is, being an artist and musician, I always need money. So I'd be glad to talk to you. Speaking of which, the other day I heard somebody say that they had paid some kind of celebrity or somebody like $50 to do one of those cameo videos. You know what I'm talking about? It's the deal where you Venmo them or PayPal them some money, and then they make a personalized video just for you, like saying happy birthday, or you can send it to other people and just say hi. Well, you know, I'm not going to make an official site or anything like that, but if anybody wants to send me some money, I'll make you a damn video.
Yeah, you would. Ho-ho!
Yeah, no problem. I'll say hi or happy birthday or whatever you want. Yeah, so keep that in mind.
I don't think so.
All right, got another email here. This comes from Ken Vanderstelt, who had a question about the meaning behind the Galactic Cowboys song, Swimming in December. That song was on our album, Let It Go. Came out, I think, around 1999 or sometime like that, a long time ago. And I probably talked about that song in the past, but what the heck, let's break it down. Okay, well, like I've mentioned before, the Let It Go album, I wrote a bunch of songs that were initially intended for a solo album. And one of the reasons was because I didn't even think Galactic was going to do another album. But Metal Blade said they wanted another one, and so I gave up those songs to be on Let It Go. And Swimming in December was one of those. So, what was the meaning behind the song Swimming in December? Well, to explain this, I'll have to go back a couple years earlier when I had moved from Houston to Kansas City, Missouri. At the time, I'd become very disillusioned with Houston and the band. I didn't feel like the band was progressing, I didn't think we were going anywhere. And I didn't feel respected by the other guys in the band, and so I thought a change would do me good. And I started recording songs at home, and this is one of the ones that I wrote. For me, swimming in December was just a way of saying nothing really makes sense anymore. I worked for 11 years there in Houston, and it just didn't seem to work out in the end. And this song was a way for me to say, I'm done, I'm moving on. I was sad, I was kind of resentful, and I was taking my ball and going back to Missouri. And so that was it. After we recorded the album, we basically broke up, and I had no intentions of ever playing with Galactic again. As fate would have it, obviously we did get back together. We did a couple of reunion shows, and about 17 years later we did another album. And since then we've recorded yet another album. So obviously time has a way of healing. I've changed so much since the 90s, I've learned a lot, and I learned to appreciate Ben and Galactic Cowboys, and I think they've learned how to appreciate me too. And really, that's the secret. If you want to be appreciated, if you want to be respected, give respect to others. If you want to be encouraged, encourage others. And now I can truthfully say it's good to be back. Good to be back with Galactic Cowboys, and it's good to be back in Houston.
I'm swimming in December.
Okay, some breaking news. This just in. My Monty's Rockcast website has been hacked for a fourth time.
Dope!
Well, I think it's four. I've kind of lost track. But this time it was somebody in Norway or something like that. Some foreign language. But once again, I'll have to spend time fixing that instead of painting or doing this podcast. But I will give you an update later. But what I'm going to do right now is give you a review of the latest and final album from Megadeth. I've been a Megadeth fan since the 80s, and over the last few years, I've become friends with their drummer, Dirk. And so I guess you would say I'm a big fan. But what do I think of this new one? Well, wouldn't you like to know? Of course you would. Well, let's check it out. My initial reaction to this album is that there's a lot on here that I like. And I think if Dave Mustaine is truly going to retire, this is a good way to go out. There's just a lot of good songs, a lot of good melodies, and just a lot of real heavy riffs. And what's not to like about that? Now, I would say this isn't a perfect album. There's a couple of songs where I'm not crazy about the lyrics, but even on those songs, there are some crushing rhythm guitars that kind of carry you through it.
Shred!
As usual, Dirk's drumming is incredible, and there's some great guitar leads, of course. Mustaine warned us that there would be a lot of soloing on here, and he was not lying. And I hate to say it, but that would be my one criticism. I love some good guitar wankery once in a while, but I would almost say there's too much on here. I think in a few years, Dave himself may even go, you know, maybe we overdid it on the lead solos. But whatever, that shouldn't stop you from loving this album. Standing tall, I don't care. sadly, for the last time, I will give you my grade for a Megadeth album. On a scale of 1 to 5 bloody metal skulls, I'm gonna give it 4 bloody metal skulls. There's some cool thrashing tunes on here, and in a couple of places, you might even think you're listening to Peace Sells. And that's where it started for me all the way back in the 80s. Peace Sells changed my life, and I found this last Megadeth album to be really enjoyable. Alright, I'm going to do something a little different now, and I'm going to start a new segment where I take a look at other people's lists from the internet and magazines and places like that. And along the way, I'll give you my thoughts and opinions on what I thought they got right and what I thought they got wrong. And the one I'm going to do today is one that Variety put out, and it was the 100 best comedy movies of all time. And I thought this would be interesting because when it comes to movies, comedies are my favorite. And so let's see what they had to say. And I won't go through every single choice on this list, but at 100 was Bridget Jones' Diary. And I don't really have an opinion on that one because I may have seen that in the past, but I don't remember. But if I did see it, I don't remember laughing. But I did laugh at 99, which was Wayne's World. But here's our first head scratcher. At 98, it's Pretty Woman. I wasn't even aware that that was a comedy. Of course, there's going to be a lot of older movies from like the 50s that I never saw and never will. And I won't spend much time on those. But let's just move down to 94 with Clerks. And I have to comment on this one because I know people that love this movie, but I not only did not love it, I didn't think it was funny. But now at 92, this is the first choice that I thought was ridiculously low, and that is The Jerk. I would have put this maybe not in my top 10, but probably in the top 15 or 20. I remember seeing this for the first time in the theater when it came out, and that scene where Steve Martin is being shot at, and he goes over and jumps in this car that doesn't have any tires on it, and he tries to drive away. I laughed so hard that my stomach was hurting, and I had tears going down my face. But let's move on to another one that I disagree with at 89. It's Fast Times at Ridgemont High. How is this so low? Sean Penn alone in that movie should have gotten this into the top 30. Number 88, I also disagree with this. Anchorman. Way too low. That movie was freaking hilarious. Now at 86, I'm just glad to see this one on a list. It's Idiocracy. I love just about anything by Mike Judge. And yes, it was funny, but it was also right on point. It just made a great statement about the mental decline of society.
Right.
Skipping ahead to 82, now I did not see this movie, but I sure did hear about it. It's called The Awful Truth. It came out in 1937. And no, I still haven't seen it, but I did see it listed in the TV Guide back in the 80s. And I said, wow, that would be a pretty cool band name. But, you know, apparently to Variety, it was one of the best comedies ever. Now, at 79, it's Rocky Horror Picture Show. And, you know, I never thought that was funny. I went and saw that when I was in college, and the crowd was throwing paper and yelling and all this stuff. And I walked out of there and went, wow, that was really stupid. But that would bring me to my first complete outrage. Because at 77, Variety has Blazing Saddles.
What?
Oh my God, I have seen this movie at least 10 times. And Blazing Saddles would be in my top 10, possibly my top 5. Not only was it hilarious, it's always going to be hilarious, regardless of what any politically correct idiot thinks. And maybe that's why it's so ridiculously low on this list.
I'm outraged!
Number 73 is Napoleon Dynamite. That movie was great. But at 72 is The Big Lebowski. And I don't know why, I just didn't really like that movie. And it's strange because I usually like the Coen brothers, just didn't get this one. But I did get Ace Ventura Pet Detective, which is at 69. And what I got was that movie was ridiculous, but at the same time, I liked it. Of course, if you're a movie critic, you have to put a few movies in there like Hell's a Poppin' from 1941. That way you can show how smart you are about movies, even though most people under 90 have never seen it. But at 62, here's another one that I thought was way too low. It's Airplane. That would have been in my probably top 20 or 30. Now we're into the 50s, and I'll go down to 54, which is Elf. And I'm a huge Will Ferrell fan, and I thought this movie was pretty good. It's fun to watch during the holidays some years. But as a comedy, it's not funnier than Anchorman. Now this one surprises me, because at 50, it's The Waterboy. And you know, Adam Sandler is great, but he's also hit and miss. And I would say I liked The Waterboy, but it wasn't one of my favorite Adam Sandler movies, so I'm surprised it's up this high. Or even on this list, to be honest.
Shut up!
Number 44 was Mrs. Doubtfire. Okay, that was pretty funny. But at 43 is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my life, and that is Team America World Police. It was a Trey Parker, Matt Stone movie, and the whole thing was done with marionettes. And this would definitely be in my top 20, but I'm surprised it made the list at all. Coming in at 41 is interesting. It's A Hard Day's Night. I guess that would be considered a comedy. I never thought of it that way. I saw it when I was a kid and just thought it was the coolest thing ever because it was the Beatles. But when I went back and watched it years later, I was like, ooh, well, okay. They're still cool, but it's kind of embarrassing in places. But what we did find funny about it was probably the English accents. Like when they're riding on the train and one of them says, "Who's the little old man?" And George says, "It's Paul's grandfather." I mean, that is some comedy, my friends. But moving on, number 40 is Zoolander. Yeah, I like that one. But at 37, it's The Princess Bride. And once again, I know a lot of people love this movie. But for me, outside of a couple of lines, didn't really think it was funny. And it just kind of bored me. But at number 35 is School of Rock. And oh my God, I still love this movie. I think Jack Black was just a genius. There are so many memorable lines in that movie. I just love it. 33, Lost in America with Albert Brooks. Really good. And Albert Brooks is brilliant. Number 30 is the first Austin Powers movie. And I can still watch that movie and laugh, but especially the first time I ever saw it was on the floor.
Yeah, baby!
At number 24 is Bridesmaids. Really funnier than Blazing Saddles? I don't think so. But at 22 is Caddyshack, and I think that's a little low. But maybe that's just me. At 20, it's Superbad. And I just watched that a couple of nights ago, and yeah, it's pretty funny. Of course, as is the case with a lot of movies, there are things that just wouldn't happen in real life. Like Jonah Hill gets hit by a car twice in this movie, and he just gets up and walks away. But whatever, moving on. Number 18 is This is Spinal Tap. And this is just personal preference, but I would have had Spinal Tap at number 1. Maybe it's because I'm a musician, I don't know. But for me, that's the most quotable, hilarious, funny movie I've ever seen. In fact, when Galactic Cowboys did the movie Airheads, I went up to Michael McKean, who was also in the movie, and I said, "Do you have any idea how Spinal Tap has influenced the everyday speech of all musicians?" And he just said, "Yeah, it kind of seems that way."
These go to 11.
I'm going to scroll forward now because a lot of these are from the 40s or Buster Keaton movies. But let's get to the top 10, and at number 10 was Groundhog Day. And I did like that movie, but if I was going to go with a Bill Murray movie, I would pick Stripes myself. At number 9 was Young Frankenstein. And if I was going to go with a Mel Brooks movie in the top 10, I would have said Blazing Saddles right here. At number 8, they've got Fargo, which is actually one of my favorite movies of all time. Just a classic. At number 7, they have Duck Soup with the Marx Brothers. And I really don't know because I don't know that I've ever seen that movie, but I've always preferred The Stooges myself. Let's see, number 6 is Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And I cannot argue with that because that was a masterpiece of comedy. And at number 5, it's Waiting for Guffman. And once again, I can't argue with that. It was great. Not as good as Spinal Tap, but one of my favorites, actually. Number 4 was a Charlie Chaplin movie called The Great Dictator. Once again, never saw it. Number 3 is Annie Hall. And to me, this is kind of crazy because if you're going to go with a Woody Allen movie in the top, there were so many others that were a lot funnier, like Take the Money and Run, or how about Sleeper? But that would bring us to number 2, which is Some Like It Hot. And I'm guessing the critics picked that one because there was Men in Drag. And at number 1, I think this will surprise you, from 1988, it's The Naked Gun. And the reason it surprises me is because there's all these movies from the 40s and 50s on here. And then they went with one of the silliest movies ever, but, you know, I'm kind of fine with it. I loved the first Naked Gun movie. I even liked the most recent one. But it wouldn't have been my number one choice. Like I said, that would have gone to Spinal Tap. But there was a whole bunch of my favorites that weren't even on this list. For instance, Step Brothers with Will Ferrell, that would have been in my top 5. I loved 40-Year-Old Virgin. I thought the first Happy Gilmore was great. I loved Dodgeball, where you got that classic line, if you can catch a wrench, you can catch a ball. They left off all the Pink Panther movies with Peter Sellers. They left off Dumb and Dumber, There Was No Waiting. I could watch that again over and over, even today. And the most glaring omission was Office Space. Again, a Mike Judge masterpiece, and that would have been in my top 5. But the one thing they did that really pissed me off about this list is they completely ignored John Hughes. I mean, where the hell was Ferris Bueller and 16 Candles? Those are both in my top 10. But that's just me. I'm sure you have your own thoughts as to what is funny and what isn't, and you can make your own list.
I am not capable.
Okay, here's an update on my podcast website, not to be confused with my other website, MontyCalvinArt.com. The art website runs beautifully. But thanks to some scammers, the Rockcast website has become a living hell. Well, I just spent about an hour and a half on the phone with GoDaddy, and they finally figured out what the deal is. Apparently, I just wasn't spending enough money with GoDaddy every year. And in order to really secure my website, I had to pay them over $200. And this was in addition to the $200 I'd already spent this year. And it kind of made me wonder, was it GoDaddy that was scamming me this whole time? Possibly. Either way, it's money that I could not afford at this time. But I shelled it out anyway because, you know, I gotta give you guys an episode. So that was depressing, but let's move on to something more positive. So what do you say we do some What's on TV? I don't have a whole lot for you this time because there really hasn't been that much on TV. So I ended up watching some documentaries and things like that. And one of them was I watched a documentary about Twisted Sister. And even though I've never been a huge fan of them, I think this is like the second or third time I've seen this. And it's mainly because I just always find stories about bands who end up making it so interesting. Because it's fascinating what bands have to go through to make it. And almost every time in one of these documentaries about rock bands, one or two things always happens. Either someone ends up on drugs and almost dies or does die, or there's all these labels that tell them, no, we don't want you. These record company executives that are supposed to be so smart, they're like, this band sucks, I won't sign them. And then they finally do get signed and sell millions of albums. And that was the case with Twisted Sister. They didn't really go through the whole drug thing, but everybody said, you suck. And then for a while, they ended up huge. And unless you're U2 or somebody like that, there's always that stage where you just fall off the cliff. Even if you still have fans, your record company will go, nah, we're done with you, screw you. Because that's just kind of the way the music industry works. One day they love you and support you, and then after it runs its course, they won't answer the phone.
This is just a bummer.
I also discovered that there's a bunch of stuff on Tubi. That's a free app you can put on your TV, and they've got all kinds of movies and stuff. You do have to put up with a lot of commercials, but otherwise, it's pretty nice. And I finally got to see the Nick Menza documentary. He was the drummer for Megadeth during the 90s when they did all that great stuff like Rust in Peace and Countdown to Extinction. And Dave Ellefson put this movie together, and there's all kinds of video footage because Nick was always filming stuff with his camcorder. And it's funny because I only met Nick Menza once, and it was back when Galactic Cowboys were on tour with Dream Theater. And it was in Chicago, and we had just finished playing, and I think Dream Theater had just taken the stage, and we were headed out the back door. And right as I'm leaving, I look up, and there stands Nick Menza, and he's got his video camera with him. And he says to me, oh, did you guys play already? And I said, yeah, we did. And he goes, oh man, I wanted to video you guys. And I wish so much that I could have stayed and talked to him, but I think we had to go meet with somebody. But the short time I did talk to him, he was just such a nice guy. And from watching this movie, it seems that everybody had the same experience with him. He was just really a good guy. And not to mention what a phenomenal drummer. But as I said, there's always a part where drugs become involved, and apparently he went through that. And I don't know that that had anything to do with why he eventually died, but yes, he had a heart attack while playing in a club, and he tragically passed away. But if you're interested in that, check more of that out on Tubi. It was called This Was My Life. And I would suggest this mainly for big Megadeth fans, or big Nick Menza fans, because it is quite long. It's a couple hours. But if you're like me, you'll probably enjoy it. And finally, one afternoon, Alex talked me into watching The Jazz Singer with Neil Diamond. And my review is, it's very Jewish. Like, you ought to be required to eat some matzo ball soup while viewing it. Or at the least, a bagel. But overall, I thought it was okay. Except for one thing. By the end of that movie, I was totally burned out on hearing, hello, my friend, hello.
Oh, dear God.
Now, finally, before I go, just wanted to remind you to go hit up my website, MontyCalvinArt.com. It's a great way to support this show, and my paintings, prints, and refrigerator magnets make great gifts. Or if you'd like to commission me, just drop me a message on Facebook or on my website. I can do portraits of you and your wife or your parents or your kids or your pets. Or if you'd like a cool painting of a rock star, I can do that. And keep in mind, I will do paintings of rock stars that I don't even like. For instance, I'm doing one right now of Jerry Garcia from the Grateful Dead. Is it because I'm a big Deadhead? Hell no! But I know there's people out there who are, and this painting is freaking cool. So just let me know, and if you want to pay for a painting, I will do it.
I want that!
Alright, I'm going to end today's show with a new song from Galactic Cowboys.
Who wants to hear that?
That's right, we've been working on this thing for over a year now, and it's still not ready to release. But we had a band meeting the other day, and I asked Ben and Dane if they'd mind if I played you a new song. And they said, all right, it's been mastered, so go ahead. So here we go. Prepare to have your skull crushed. OMG, does this rock or what? Alright, my friends, that's gonna do it for this episode of the Rockcast. I will be back soon with more fun and mayhem, but until then, this has been Monty saying take care, don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. And
rock on!
You're anti-science. Science! 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 We'll be right back.
It's over!